Every year, the Catholic Church has a global day of prayer for vocations. It falls this year on Sunday, the 13th of April. It's an opportunity for the Catholic community to come together to support priests, deacons, and all those who have entered religious life. Today, we're speaking to Father Paul Embry, Director of the National Office for Vocation.
I think what I'd be keen to highlight is the message of the Holy Father. Each year, he has a particular theme for this day. And this year he's chosen a link between vocation and evangelisation.
Can you give us an example of that?
I think it's probably not a bad idea to look towards one of the traditional images of the Annunciation, where Mary meets the angel. The angel says to her, "Will you be the Mother of God?" And at that point, she is the first to hear the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world, and at the same time, she receives her vocation. And so in the same way, we can say that when somebody hears the word of God and responds to that and joins the church, becomes a baptized member of the church, they receive a vocation as part of the body of Christ. And part of that vocation is that they too then have responsibility for evangelization. So the Holy Father is playing these two out in this particular letter for this year.
Now, over the last, certainly the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a steady increase in numbers of those training to be priests, certainly. This is obviously encouraging. Why do you think there is an increase? And also on the back of that, we have around about 160 actually in training right now, which is the highest in a number of years. So that's encouraging, isn't it?
It's very encouraging. Last year, 44 men started seminary for the Diocese of England and Wales, which was similar to the year before. It's very hard to try and put your finger on why this might be, because ultimately here, we're not talking about a recruitment campaign. We're talking about the call of God in individuals' lives. Anecdotally, talking to some of those who've entered seminary recently, they might point to things like the example of the late John Paul II, who even in death was speaking to the world so loudly by the way that he chose to die. Also, of course, the election of Pope Benedict and the energy that that brought back into the church. Another thing that we've also seen recently in our own country is individual dioceses taking more initiative to get people to think about vocation in their local context.
Now, we can give examples here. I mean, we have in Leeds, they had a calendar, didn't they, which was very interesting. And also in Clifton, they've produced a series of videos. Can you tell us a little bit more about those two initiatives?
Yeah, well, those are two very practical initiatives. In Leeds Diocese, they decided for the start of 2008 they'd produce a vocations calendar, which showed priests doing what you might call ordinary things. You know, so many people associate priesthood quite rightly with what goes on in church. The calendar shows people doing things, for example, like DIY. It shows priests at home watching TV, somebody playing the piano, just to show that priests actually are ordinary people who are called by God to do extraordinary work. And in Clifton Diocese, what they've done is they've interviewed three seminarians at various stages of priestly formation to get them to talk about the things, the factors in their lives and their life stories, the things that made them consider priesthood in the first place.
Now, you mentioned the calendar for Leeds there, but I mean, I've also seen the Jesuit calendar, which is really quite something, where you see priests who are doctors getting off small aircraft in African countries, straight into the heart of it. I mean, discerning that vocation is very, very important, isn't it? And why do you think it's particularly relevant?
Well, discerning the vocation is very important because not only do we, for example, have diocesan priesthood, but as you point out, there's religious life, which is lived out in many different forms, the contemplative life, the active life, either here in the UK or indeed perhaps in mission territory. One of the things I found personally as a priest is that over my 16, 17 years as a priest, I've had the opportunity to have such a variety of work. I've headed a Catholic youth centre, I've been a bishop's secretary, I currently run the vocations office. And people often think that the priesthood is a fairly sort of stable and perhaps even at times, dare I say it, boring life. But in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. There's opportunities as well for people to be university chaplains, to be chaplains to the armed services, and so many different things. So I think it's very important that young people, young men in particular who might be considering priesthood, but also young women considering religious life, look carefully at what the Lord might be inviting them to do, what gifts and talents he's given them, and how they can best use those in service of him and the church.
Now, we should probably be honest about the fact that we could do with more people in religious life and the priesthood. I mean, certainly if you look at the secular media, there's a lot of pointing out that things are in decline. Now, obviously, we can look at encouraging statistics at the moment, but is it fair to say we need more people joining the priesthood and entering religious life?
I would certainly say that it is. One of the things that the late Pope John Paul II said about religious life is that even though the circumstances, the environment in which religious life is lived out, there will always be a need for people who follow that heroic witness, those evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity and obedience. And I think there's a very important point there, that be it priesthood or be it religious life, the circumstances in which those vocations are lived out will change, even though the vocations themselves will remain pretty much as they are, and of course essential to the life of the church. If you take, for example, diocesan priesthood, throughout the 1840s and 50s, the number of priests was not keeping up with immigration. So we had a situation where you had only one priest for every 1,200 Catholics. That then dropped, well, throughout the latter part of the 19th century, to about one priest for 700 Catholics, and then continued to drop to the 1950s, one priest for every 500 Catholics. What we're now seeing is that ratio increasing again back up to around about 1 in 800. So I suppose what I'm saying is that there's never actually been a stable ratio of priests to people. And when we read in the newspapers or we hear on the news that the number of priests is dropping, numerically that is true, but actually people are taking the reference point precisely from sort of the late 1960s when we had the most priests ever. So I think it's important we keep that kind of context there. Having said that, yes, we do need more priests, because if you look at the typical profile of a diocese, quite a number of priests are now in their 60s, and of course they'll be coming up to retirement perhaps in another 10 years or so. And we certainly do need younger men to hear the voice of the Lord and to respond to that and to become a priest. And obviously the environment in which they will operate in 20, 30 years' time is probably very different to the environment that those who are retiring now operated in. But likewise, 100 years ago, it was a different story again. So the way in which priesthood is lived out in England and Wales has always changed and always will.
Now, there's obviously fertile ground out there. I mean, you look at World Youth Day in Cologne, nearly a million young people, probably another million odd will be in Sydney, in Australia, in a few months' time. There does seem to be a sort of strength in faith amongst young people. Is that translating itself into those wishing to enter religious life and the priesthood?
Well, if I could just give an example, before I came into the Office for Vocation, I was running a youth centre in the Lake District, a Catholic residential youth centre. And what I noticed there was that the staff who were applying, the young members of staff who were coming aged 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, were becoming increasingly dedicated in their faith. And by that, I don't mean fundamentalists, not at all. What I'm talking about are people who had had to reflect on why their faith was important to them, perhaps because they were the only person who were going to Mass in their friendship circle. And then having reflected on their faith, explored it more deeply, and then wished to share that with other young people. So I certainly think what we have seen, if you'll pardon the expression, is a qualitative leap in those who are signing up, not only to priesthood, but to youth work and to other things in the church. People who've thought, what does my faith mean to me? And then who want to share that with other people.
Looking at the cultural makeup of Britain these days, I mean, there are a great many different communities and cultures now, and they have their own pastoral needs, naturally. And we do have a couple of courses that help our priests, certainly those from abroad, get used to the cultural environment here in the UK. But do we not, to an extent, need good formation for all our priests in terms of how to deal with people from a wide variety of backgrounds and indeed the pastoral needs of people that can be quite unique?
Well, the answer to that is clearly yes. However, we must recognise that when people perhaps come from abroad into the UK, the church is one of the anchor points of their lives. The church, whether it's in Africa or Poland or wherever, when they come here, the Mass is ultimately the same. It's the same Mass. And therefore, that's a good starting point. Now, of course, all our priests, especially those who are trained in our seminaries here in England, Wales, need to be sensitive to the individual needs of other people. But by the same token, of course, we want those people to join in the fullness of life in the church in this country. And, you know, the Cardinal has spoken about this over recent months and has pointed out that whilst obviously we need to meet those needs and to make people feel welcome here in the church, we also want them to join in mainstream life church in this country and not to sort of live as a completely separate type of community. However, having said that, of course, we know that because people's needs are different, there may have to be some flexibility there.
And finally, just looking at the religious, looking at our brothers and sisters in religious life, there's a lot of talk of traditional orders, you know, aging, as it were, and then the more modern orders with different charisms. How satisfied are you with the spectrum and richness of those entering religious life?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to say that within religious life itself, there is a great richness and variation. There's so many different orders, so many different communities with different charisms. And so therefore, any young person should be, who was considering religious life, should be able to find a particular community that whose charism suits their own spirituality and their own vocational call. And I would certainly encourage young people to explore that, particularly these days, of course, using the internet.
And how optimistic are you for the future of those entering religious life in the priesthood?
In terms of diocesan priesthood, I am quite confident that we will always have a demand for the priest. And in fact, one of the things that has become very clear in many of the diocesan reviews that have taken place up and down England and Wales is the need for Eucharistic communities to be served by a full-time dedicated priest. People value that, not just for the actual sacramental celebrations, but also for what the sign value of a priest in their community is. As regards religious life, what's interesting there is it doesn't necessarily follow that a new community will get all the vocations. In fact, quite the opposite. Sometimes it's true that sometimes the very traditional orders, the very ancient orders and venerable orders that have served the church well for centuries are also attracting new and young vocations. So I think there's a both and there rather than an either or.
That was Father Paul Embry, Director of the National Office for Vocation. For all the latest news from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk.